the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet mama, he will die. Killer on the road.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joe Dominic, who is an award-winning investigative journalist, author, and professor at the USC Annenberg Institute for Justice and Journalism. He's also the Associate Director of the Center on Media, Crime, and Justice at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and the West Coast Bureau Chief of the Crime Report. His latest book is Cruel Justice, Three Strikes in the Politics of Crime in America's Golden State. His previous book is To Protect and Serve, the LAPD Century of War in the City of Dreams, which won the 1995 Edgar Allan Poe Award for Best Nonfiction Book. And he's currently working on a new book, Road to Reckoning, The Collapse and Reformation of the LAPD. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joe Dominic.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's a pleasure to be on America's best radio show.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It seems, though, at this moment that not only are the LAPD and its police force and indeed its families being stalked by a suspect, but they're also being haunted by their brutal past, are they not?
Well, that's exactly the story, as this guy's story has to do with the LAPD, where it appears, I haven't done independent reporting on this, Ian, but it very much appears as if the LAPD actually did everything right with this guy that's on the run. You know, I think the fact that they fired him, he was a probationary officer. He was clearly mentally unstable at the time. They did exactly the right thing. But in terms of their past, it's almost like O.J. all over again, Ian. O.J. Simpson became a hero in Black America, and Black America cheered the acquittal of an obviously guilty man because it was fighting against it. They looked on it as fighting against a police force that had made their life a horror show for the last 40 years, and this was a triumph. OJ was a triumph over that, and I think that they're paying the same price for that now with this questioning of whether this clearly mentally unstable guy's accusations have validity. And there's a segment of the African American population that is inclined to believe that they do have validity, even though I believe, in fact, they don't.
So, Joe Dominic, this fugitive officer, Christopher Dorner, who's suspected of killing three people, and he put out this strange manifesto on his Facebook page that also has a long list of people that he approves of, movies that he approves of, journalists and television personalities that he approves of, including Pat Harvey of the CBS local television anchor here, who did a long interview with the now head of the LAPD, Charlie Beck, who seemed to go out of his way to try and offer an olive branch, if you will, to this fugitive, saying that they would reopen and re-examine his case, even though it's been examined on a number of occasions. What do you know about the actual firing of Dorner in 2008? Apparently because he lied over a complaint against his field training officer, saying she had kicked a suspect, a schizophrenic man, with severe dementia during an arrest. What's the details here, and what's at the heart of this beef that he has that's caused him to threaten, kill police and threaten their families?
Well, you know, clearly there's, I don't want to play amateur or shrink here, but clearly the guy is filled with incredible rancor. And also has this really strong persecution complex, because as the LA Times has been reporting, one of the people that he's, I don't know, directly threatened, but certainly holds a grudge against is his junior high school principal for allegedly, doing some minor thing to him. So we know that he also shot himself in the hand while he was in the police academy, you know, and was somebody who was constantly getting into beefs with other officers. There's no indication that his training partner in San Pedro was somebody who was has any record of doing something like, you know, kicking a suspect. And I think that this was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. This was a probationary officer. They wanted to get rid of him because he appeared to be, you know, unstable. They didn't even want him on the force. So they fired him. You know, normally that might not have been a fireable offense, but I think the totality of his behavior was what caused the firing.
Well, it seems as though, Joe Dominic, compounding that is the fact that the U.S. Navy, he was a reserve lieutenant, they kicked him out too. That just happened recently, and he was down in San Diego. So it seems like this man's having an identity crisis.
Right, and I don't think, so again, I don't think the LAPD has done anything wrong in this case. Looks like they've done what's right. But one of the things that is concerning is the shooting of the two women who were delivering newspapers, and then yesterday the Torrance, and that was by the LAPD. Yesterday, the Torrance police deliberately smashing into a truck that looked like the truck that this suspect this officer had been driving, and you know, really, you know, just no regard to the fact that. Using smart tactics and not endangering the public. This is now twice in this manhunt that innocent people have been endangered by the police.
Well, there's certainly no excuse. There's certainly no excuse for that, Joe Dominic. Again, award-winning investigative journalist, author, and professor at USC's Annenberg Institute for Justice and Journalism. He is the author of two books on the LAPD, Cruel Justice, Three Strikes, To Protect and Serve, the LAPD Century of War in the City of Dreams, and his forthcoming book is Road to Reckoning, the Collapse and Reformation of the LAPD. In his interview with Pat Harvey of CBS, local CBS TV here, Charlie Beck did mention that there are 50 LAPD families under protection now with protection details. And of course, the two women that were shot delivering the LA Times were apparently coming close to one of those locations when they were shot by dozens of rounds. It's a miracle that they both survived with very light wounds, given the dozens of shots were fired. It was, needless to say, the wrong truck, the wrong color, the wrong make. I think that tells you, though, doesn't it, how freaked out the police are?
It tells me how freaked out the police are, but it's no excuse. They're not supposed to be freaked out. They're supposed to be highly paid professionals who shouldn't be making these kinds of mistakes. This was, you know, this was not that they were in any way thought that they were in danger. You know, I mean, there was no indication of any danger coming from this truck or from these women. And to open up like that is really poor performance in a life-threatening situation. It's very bad tactics, and they need to be criticized for that. And I really don't want... This wasn't an incident where a cop turns a corner and he spies somebody there and he thinks that the guy is reaching for a weapon and he accidentally shoots him. This is a very bad situation. I understand that things happen very quickly, but there's no excuse for those kind of tactics.
So in terms of this strange manifesto that Christopher Dorner posted on his Facebook page, where he goes into accuses the LAPD of a history of racism, cover-ups and corruption, and claims that the things are worse now than they were in the Rodney King's days, and the LAPD officers celebrate dead bodies on crime scenes as a bonus to their paycheck. This is obviously not going to be helpful here in a community that is trying to get over some of the serial abuses of African Americans going back to Rodney King. And you still have shootings. One of the things, though, that I find extraordinary about this guy's claim, which sort of undermines his idea that that he's a credible source on the question of racism, is that he also, in his manifesto, all the people that he likes and the movies he likes and comedians like Larry David. I mean, it's so bizarre, the panoply of people. He goes on to say that he loves Bill Handel, "You're effing awesome. For years I've enjoyed your show, and John and Ken from KFI, never mute your facts and personal opinions. You're one of the few media personalities who speak the truth, even when the truth is not popular. I'll miss listening." I mean, he's obviously talking about this in the past tense. I will miss listening to your discussions. Well, those guys are pretty racist, aren't they, John and Ken? This guy's not exactly tracking with his facts, is he?
No, I mean both of them are both on both of those shows. Johnny Ken and Bill Handel. They are, I mean, their racism, and I don't think that that's an inaccurate description. Is directed at undocumented immigrants in Los Angeles. You know, who they have nothing but contempt for. And don't hide it, which, you know, it's kind of an amazing thing that this is Los Angeles, you know, as opposed to I don't know, someplace else. Yeah, so he's clearly a deeply disturbed guy. But, you know, you mentioned all of these accusations that he's making. You know, that was there was truth to that in 1999. But there's not truth to that. Certainly, it hasn't gotten worse. It's gotten enormously better. In 1999, when we had the Rampart scandal, as you recall, Ian, and we had Ray Perez doing all of these things, and the entire crash unit at Rampart Crash, and probably in other crash units throughout the city, well, which were never examined. You had exactly those kinds of things going on. But this is I can tell you this is not going on, certainly not going on with the concurrence of anybody in any high rank within the department. They're working to do exactly the opposite, and I think fairly successfully. One of the reasons you haven't heard big outcry from people that have some credibility and weight in the African American community is because they know what's going on. And we've had two African American presidents of the police commission. We've had two African American chiefs. So sure, I mean, racism and classism and the whole mission of urban police departments to contain minority people, makes some of this inevitable. But I think that the LAPD has gone a long way in trying to alleviate it.
Well, I think what you're saying here, Joe Dominic, is the LAPD has gone a long way from the days of Darrell Gates, who was a reactionary and probably a racist. And since then, I mean, the last two, the current one, Charlie Beck, and the previous head, Bratton, were of this new kind of highly educated. I mean, I saw the press. I mean, the interview that he did with Pat Harvey Beck, and he's clearly a very smart guy.
No, he's extremely smart. I think what he just did in terms of reopening, and you know, maybe this is some kind of backhanded message to this guy that is bizarre enough that maybe the guy will believe it. But I really think that it's that he understands that when you don't have anything to hide, you don't have anything to hide. So why not, why not be open? Why not do this and put this to rest? I think it's part of his community policing and strategy and his community relations strategy, which has been very successful, especially in his outreach to the African American community and places like Jordan Downs and the housing projects down in Watts.
So I take it this is what your new book, "The Road to Reckoning: The Collapse and Reformation of the LAPD," is about. To some extent, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, that's exactly right. The book starts with the 92 riots, goes through the disaster of 5 years of Willie Williams as chief, the even bigger disaster of 5 years of Bernard Parks as chief, and then the start on the road to reformation.
So I don't know. I mean, we're trying to watch the wires in case something's happening here. But as far as I know, nobody knows where this guy is. They think he's up in the mountains somewhere. But they're also, I think, quite concerned that he's fairly clever and determined to wreak havoc. And as Beck mentioned in his interview, 50 police families are being protected at the moment. So I take it this guy's going to be go down in flames, right? We only got a few seconds left to him. Sorry.
Right. He probably will go down in flames. And who knows if he's not already taken his life. I mean, he's in a very desperate situation. Right. If he's up in the mountains, he could be very likely freezing to death. Sure. Who knows right now? It's hard to speculate.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Joe Dominic.
Great to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Joe Dominic, who's an award-winning investigative journalist, author, and professor at the USC's Annenberg Institute for Justice and Journalism. He's also the associate director of the Center for Media, Crime, and Justice at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and the West Coast Bureau Chief of the Crime Report. His latest book is Cruel Justice, Three Strikes and the Politics of Crime in America's Golden State. And his previous book, To Protect and Serve, the LAPD's Century of War in the City of Dreams, won the 1995 Edgar Allan Poe Award for Best Nonfiction Book. And he's currently working on a new book, Road to Reckoning, The Collapse and Reformation of the LAPD. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Time was